What's happening, Polite Society? I hope you had a good week. If you're here for the first time, welcome to my channel. I'm Alan. Today, we're going to be continuing our series on the women's movement. So let's delve in. Last week, we looked at Elizabeth Cady Stanton and the important role that she played in the development of egalitarian thought. I mentioned that though Stanton was not a racist, she was nevertheless outraged that black males received the right to vote before herself and other women. Eventually, Stanton formed her own faction. One important figure who played a prominent part in Stanton's campaign efforts was a very interesting woman named Victoria Woodhull. According to scholar Carrie Gress, perhaps nobody embodied the three pillars of the female movement, smash the patriarchy, free love, and occultism, more than Victoria. When we examined Mary Wollstonecraft, I pointed out that the context of the French Revolution played a key part in shaping 18th century egalitarian ideology. Similarly, in the 19th century, the American Civil War had a significant cultural effect on the women's movement in U.S. society. Many men had lost their lives in the war between the states. This led to scores of people seeking solace and comfort by attempting to communicate with the departed spirits of their loved ones. Estimates range that the spiritualist movement founded by the Fox sisters grew in number from 2 million adherents before the war to roughly 7 million after the war. Victoria Woodhull, like the Foxes, took full advantage of this growing demand and used her alleged ability to communicate with the other side to gain acclaim. Born Victoria Claflin in rural Ohio in 1838 to a mother who was a spiritist and a father who was a scheming snake oil salesman, Victoria grew up in poverty with her sister, Tennessee Tenny Claflin. Her father's name was Buck, and the family was frequently on the go because of Mr. Claflin's many frauds and cons. Sadly, Buck also exploited Victoria and Tenny in awful ways. He used them as fortune tellers, but more sadly, even sold their services as working girls. One of Claflin's harebrained schemes even involved a fake cure for cancer. The sisters eventually escaped their abusive father and moved to New York City. It was here that the siblings met Cornelius Vanderbilt, who became captivated by the two sisters. Vanderbilt was having an affair with Tennessee, and he utilized Victoria's spiritualist advice to make a fortune. However, it's been said that the real truth is Woodhull didn't receive trading trips from spirits, but from a courtesan friend who was a client of important Wall Street bankers. In her title, Occult Feminism, Rachel Wilson, an Eastern Orthodox author, expressed her shock at how so many modern women's advocates commend Woodhull with adoration and praise for her ferocious, pioneering fearlessness in regards to this event, while largely ignoring the fact that Victoria's success was actually the result of insider trading. Woodhull's lucrative work as a medium enabled the sisters to have the first female law firm in 1870. They also started Woodhull and Claflin's Weekly, a weekly newspaper. Following a negative public response after one of her speeches, Victoria used this outlet to publish details involving an illicit affair between a prominent preacher and a married woman. The newspaper would also be the first in the U.S. to print the Communist Manifesto. I'll discuss the relationship between communism and the women's movement in more depth in future videos. They do have a key connection. In addition to working as a spiritist and launching a newspaper, Victoria Woodhull was a strong proponent of free love. Having split from the original suffragist group, fellow free love advocate Elizabeth Cady Stanton, as well as her friend Susan B. Anthony, tried to use Woodhull's charisma and money to bolster their cause. Victoria spoke at an event, but her past indiscretions were seen as too radical for some. In one of her speeches, she stated, "Yes, I am a free lover. I have an inalienable constitutional and natural right to love whom I may, to love as long or as short a period as I can, to change that love every day if I please." The cartoonist Thomas Nast drew Woodhull as a horned demon who he named Mrs. Satan. Perhaps the most well-known fact about Victoria Woodhull is that she was the first woman to run for president of the United States. The campaign was more of a show than a real bid for election, and Woodhull's connection with Stanton and Anthony eventually tarnished the latter two women's reputations. In summation, Victoria Woodhull, like many of the other free love advocates and egalitarians we've looked at in this series, demonstrates the folly of the women's movement. I have sympathy for many of these women. Mary Wollstonecraft grew up in an abusive home. Mary Shelley never knew her birth mother, who died shortly after Shelley's birth. And now Victoria Whittle, whose con artist father sinfully exploited her in her youth. But the solutions these women sought in free love and female empowerment were misguided. The truth is, these evil pillars have led to the gradual decay and degradation of Western society. It's been reported that 1 out of 4 romantically active women have an STI. Another study indicates that the average modern woman has slept with between 4 and 8 men. The unhappiness of single, unmarried women is also high. The negative effects of female promiscuity, aka free love, as well as egalitarianism on women's psychological well-being and physical health are numerous and would take an entire video to cover. In Genesis 1, God created womankind in his own image. It is very good to be a woman, but being one comes with responsibility. Women glorify God and their bodies when they restrict romantic intercourse to the pure fountain of marriage. Free love is, of course, the antithesis of this, as it brought sadness and grief to many of the female movement's pioneers. It continues to bring anguish and depression to many of their contemporary daughters. Additionally, women were not made to rule over the family, the church, and human society. They were created to serve and to submit to male leadership. When society is led by either a nefarious gynocentric social order or a cruel chauvinistic patriarchy, women are at their most distressed. But when society is ruled and governed by a biblical and benevolent patriarchy, women are at their most joyful. So let's continue to follow the leadership of ecclesiastical fathers like Pastor Joel Webben, Pastor Michael Foster, and Pastor Brian Sauvé. Let's pray that God continues to raise up faithful men like them. But let's also pray that the Lord would be merciful to us and give us more godly familial fathers, political fathers, and perhaps most importantly of all in the time in which we live, godly Titus II matrons, because we are surely in need of them. We have a lot of unwise and ungodly older women giving a lot of unwise and ungodly advice to young women today. We need grandmothers, mothers, aunts, and older women with biblically sound, godly wisdom desperately. All right, that's a wrap for now. The source material that I use for this video is available in the description below. Ladies and gents, if you want to share your own thoughts, be sure to do so in the comments section down below. Thanks for watching, everyone. If you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. If you like the content here, you can subscribe by clicking on the icon on the bottom right. Then you can hit the bell for notifications. I upload a new video every Wednesday and every Saturday. Have an awesome week, and for my brothers and sisters in the Lord, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all always. I will see you all in the next video. God's blessings on your week.